Hey.
Hi.
Hannah, this is an auspicious event. I would say auspicious is a good word choice for this.
Suspicious, too.
It's suspiciously auspicious.
I suspect something is happening.
Hannah and I have been playing a lot of Clue.
Yeah, that's where it's coming
from. On the ocean.
From.
And so if you hear a lot of candlestick references or...
The billiard room.
You know, I feel like the lead pipe, it's rare for me to hear... reference of lead pipe and murder in the state. It's a real unique experience to have that happen. Hey, everybody, welcome to the GladCast. I'm Natalie Marie, and this is
Colonel Mustard.
This is Colonel Mustard with the pistol in her bedroom. But this is our first GladCast where we get to be in the same room together. So this is the suspiciously auspicious event.
Guys, Natalie is so beautiful. Just so you know. Normally we can't even FaceTime while we're doing
to.
It because we just get distracted by how
her dimples
amazing
oh my God.
We are. So it's a little distracting, but we can do it.
We can do it. We're really excited. We have no seasons anymore. We've become seasonless, like migratory birds that actually have a lot of seasons.
They're 100% season.
Season. Their DNA is just season.
We're like penguins.
Yeah. we're going to stop using metaphors, apparently incapable of it. We're going to talk about what is really exciting for us. And right now, we've both just gone through a wave, an arc of this one specific thing that happens in the life of a deliberate creator. And it's very sneaky when it's happening because you've built your life around a fake desire that you are not capable of being fully honest about for whatever reason. And then your life begins to crack around it because it's not a true seed. You don't really fucking care about the fake desire. The desire is actually way bigger, way more interesting, way juicier, but you don't believe you can have that version. So you've truncated it, you've trimmed it down, you've made it very bland, and it's not working. So we want to devote this episode to exploring the dynamics of that and playing around with our own experience of it. Sound about right?
Yeah. The feeling of realizing we've created limitations around what we're letting ourselves want, and the whoosh of taking those limitations off.
Yeah, and just gotten cyclically comfortable. It's really interesting. Part of what's going on in this conversation is like I read a very innocuous book recently that I found in a free box, and I think it's called Follow the Unicorn or to Follow a Unicorn. I don't remember.
Bring Me a Unicorn.
Yeah, it's Anne Morrow Lindbergh, one of the first female aviators. She married Charles Lindbergh, who was a famous pioneering aviator. I just read her diary, and she was so uncompromising in what she wanted and her willingness to ferret out of a situation what she really felt. That it made me ashamed of how often I'm not curious about my real emotional responses. I'm more trying to make things pleasant for people, or I have other agendas that aren't that fun. Yeah. And
wistful sigh.
And so it shook me. And in the shaking, it kind of created this pressurization on my own desires that had shrunk. And they suddenly like became their proper size. You know, like those little wet towels that you do. I was like, oh my God, the room is full right now with what I really want. And I was like, I'm not living a life heading towards those big desires. I'm living a life trying to head towards the small versions of those big desires. And I feel super uninspired and crappy about trying to like move towards what I consider to be a compromise and boring. So I'd like to devote this episode to bravery. In the listening. And that you, like, I believe that I found that book as part of my intention to be very green, to be the greenest, most authentic version of myself that I can be. And so that book broke through in a way that, like, a teaching spiritual text or a TED talk or wouldn't have gotten to me. Mm-hmm. Just being with a woman who, for no other agenda other than just being riveted by the possibility that she knows who and what she truly is and what her life intentions are and dares to live them, just experienced that clean energy. It was rare as fuck, and I highly recommend the book. But it was also the exact magic that I needed to go to the next level of my honesty. So I'm hoping that this episode can be a unicorn for the listeners.
I have a very clear story example of going through this exact thing recently on this beautiful trip where we're in two amazing beach houses and there's like 30 people and there's all this organization that's beautiful around people preparing meals for each other. And for some reason, I let myself feel really limited by that, and really, I started to get incredibly stressed out around feeling like my daughter, who has very particular food she wants to eat, like, couldn't be fed by this group, and I just, like, and I was also limiting myself and thinking, like, but she needs to be, and so there's, like, the food here is what's here, and I can't go anywhere else to get it, and I just have to, like, make do and, like, feed her, like, peanuts for dinner every night. And,
which didn't feel good. It didn't go over well.
Yeah, and the way that beautiful limiting beliefs often go, they get more and more and more stressful until you just finally have to burst the shit out of them.
And you usually encounter an uncomfortable situation that causes the bursting. Do you remember that uncomfortable situation?
Yeah, I do. The beautiful Natalie was, it was like breakfast time. It was like a little like chaotic. There's all this stuff going on, all these people in the room. Somebody has made this beautiful spiced oatmeal, this beautiful
sprouted
love
oats,
gesture.
Yeah. Organic, just so amazing.
It was beautiful, but it was also like, I know my daughter's not going to eat that. And Natalie goes, are you sure she's not going to eat that? Has she tried it? I'm like, I know she won't eat it. And Natalie just rolls her eyes at me like, you are stupid for not having your daughter try this thing.
My specific question was, did you give her a chance to see if she had known this particular experience? Mm-hmm. And so, but it was the kick. It was the pop on the bubble of pressurization you've been having around this desire. And suddenly,
I freaked out. I was like, I'm leaving. And I went and, like, cried for a while and calmed down. And then I encountered a friend who had just gone shopping and stocked up her own little private room with her own precious foods that worked for her. And I was like, oh, I thought the grocery stores were, like, an hour away. And she's like, no, Hannah, they're, like, 4 minutes away. It's like, oh, it could be really easy.
Yeah.
I could just go and get us food that works for us. And so I went, and I just had so much fun. I got a ton of stuff that I just know is really good for us, and then
mostly Coca-Cola.
Mostly
when she Coca-Cola. Says good for us,
so
I'm looking
good
at
us.
A 12 pack of Coke.
That's right there, and potato chips. I got comfort food pretty much, and then I came back, and because I had changed my vibration, I was all of a sudden relaxed and was like, I know we're gonna be fed, it's all fine. I encountered my daughter. Like, she had food in her mouth when I arrived that somebody else had made for her and made it thoughtfully and lovingly in the way that she would like. And I just started crying, like, joy tears of, like, I've arrived at the land of plenty and yeah. of our needs being met. And by just taking the, like, limitations off and going and getting what I needed, all of a sudden, every meal, it's like she has what she needs.
Yeah, it's become really easy.
It's so easy and fun and also, I love having soda in my room.
I know. Hannah and I, I'm not going to go into the Coca-Cola reverie. I had a Coca-Cola this year on a long, long, long bike ride, and I changed my destiny. I'm not the same person I was before it. It really, I'm like, the level of presence I had with that fucking bubbly, sweet motherfucker.
You started screaming.
I don't know. I think I got it right about it. Anyway, I'm going to start with N on this for natural. I love how Abraham uses the cork. It's natural for your cork to rise. It's unnatural for your desire to be. We live in an infinitely expansive universe. It's unnatural for it to not be the right size that it is, or for you to not know its right size. It's weird. It's like, you know how big your kid is. You look at them. Mm-hmm. So you can tell. We have senses to be able to tell how big or how true or how what shape something really is. And if we if we're being dishonest about something's genuine shape or size, there's something unnatural, something off. Your ego is rigid in this area, so you've got limited lens or something's going on. So it's quite natural for that pressure to build and build. Mm. And I would argue that a lot of the anxieties that people struggle with is around this issue. That they actually want something, but they don't have permissions to want, or they don't have beliefs that they can have it. And so they exist in an unnatural state of holding themselves apart from it, holding themselves mentally, designing lives that don't include it. So then that's even more anxiety provoking. You know, sometimes I'll ask people, like, are you excited about this? They're like, not really. And it's like, that's a sign. Look at that. Why are you walking towards a future you don't think is exciting or compelling? That's super no good, because the buzz is you're being hailed towards something. What is exciting to you if that future isn't? We should let's change that. So yeah,
O is for being open to those really uncomfortable moments and letting it be really fucking uncomfortable, because that is what is nudging you into your... I love the metaphor that lobsters have to smash their way out of their shells that are too small for them. And it kind of feels like that around this. Violent. Like, yeah, like... okay, like, this got so uncomfortable, I had to smash my way out of it. And, like, I could have just tried to not think about the uncomfortable moment I had with you and been like, whatever, like, ugh, I'm just gonna think about
protect
something else.
Protect yourself from it.
Yeah, and been like, I don't know, done something else. But I really let myself feel it, and that pointed me in the direction of, like, oh, I'm stuck here.
Oh, my God. I just realized what P could be. Les poissons, les poissons, how I love les poissons. It's from Little Mermaid, which we did a whole shitty episode on. Do you remember?
No.
Poisson? Les poissons is when he's in the... This is a real dead point in the episode. I love it. When he's cooking, the cook is cooking for Ariel and Ariel.
He's trying to cook the lobster.
Yeah, and the crab... And the chef is singing, le poisson, how I love le poisson. Nope, nothing. Great. So P is going to be something very different. P is permission. P is, so that follows right on what you said with opening, opening to the deeper levels, right? You were saying open to, like, instead of just being like, I'm irked, the world is full of jerks. Nothing's going on here. You're like, oh no, like, what's really going on here? I'm very upset. And there's something going on. So that's like staying open to the deeper waves where the conversation's going to release itself. And for me, like, I've been going through something similarly, and it was hard for me to give myself permission to take a deeper look at it and be like, I need to stop flowing in this direction for a hot minute and see, like, why does this feel so uncomfortable and unexciting and wrong direction? And to give myself permissions was like, I had to rally them. I had to go get them. They weren't there. I had to be like, it's okay for you to go against the grain. It's okay for you to not do what other people expect. It's okay for you to take a break. It's okay for you to change your mind. It's okay for you to have thought that this was something you wanted and then to have engaged it and got more data and now go for an expanded version or a no version of it at all. It's totally okay. Your life. Like, I had to, like, kind of go in there and, like, clean up some of those, you know, toxic stuff you hear as a youngster on, like, you can't be curious or flexible. You have to know what you're going to do your whole life.
Pick your one career path
when you're
right
12
now
and never change it. Yeah, or whatever. No curiosity or playful. So permissions around being playful with how life is moving and how you're participating in it. Or else the desires won't blossom. The permissions, the playful permissions help create a garden where they'll blossom easily, and they won't become, you won't start to trim them so much. You'll start to let them be as big and beautiful as they are. You recover your ability to let a desire reveal itself to you. And its fullness and the enjoyment around that.
Q is for the quickening that happens once you've got that permission. Mm. And all of a sudden, you get your cart full of Coca-Cola, or you get the, like, person sends you the message that's like, oh, this thing just opened up. That's exactly what I was, just gave myself permission to want. Yeah. It starts to move real fast, and that can be so exciting. And also, if you're kind of new to doing that, it can be a little like, whoa, too much, but probably right, not.
Especially because you're used to, so, what was yours?
Quickening.
That's a great word. You're used to your rut. If you are trying to move towards a desire that's fake to you, you'll get in a rut. The energy stops moving because your true energy, your source, is gone to your genuine desire. That's where it is. That's where all the energy is moving towards. So you have been in this little side rut of, like, trying to pretend like you want something you don't really want, trying to have pretend it's going well, like a very sort of, like,
rut butt.
Insidious, stinky, pinworm full rut butt that is no good for anyone. And so that when you get out of the rut butt and you actually get back into the friggin' river of life, it's like, oh my god, there's a lot of water and movement and
fun, giggles,
a joy, no pinworms, and no rut butts. The rut butts are just like holding their buttholes on the side, just moaning in gross, unpleasant ways, and you're flying along with glee.
S is for how sexy it is to want what you want, and once you, like, start giving yourself permission to want what you want, it's like, oh my gosh, even though I'm surrounded by people who don't want their kids to have sugar and don't want anything that's not organic, I'm gonna stock up on Coke and, like, Lay's potato chips, and, like, that's sexy to me, and I love myself enough to want what I fucking want, and I'm gonna do that.
It's sexy, and it is so much better for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, from like a technical, like, perspective, your relationship to what you do, your thoughts about it, are so much more determines so much more your experience of it than what the chemical component is, whatever the molecules are. Mm-hmm. So you having a happy, light, loose, sexy relationship with your desires lets the desire reveal itself and be good for you in all the ways. I was being quite honest and funny about the Coke. Like, that's delicious for you, mm-hmm. because you love it and you believe it, and you're one of the healthiest people I know, and you're thriving and you're energized and you're happy and you're involved in things that you love and you're living the life of your dreams and you're married to the man of your dreams and you have everything going well for you on every potential level. So it's very fun to watch people want what they want without excuses.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And it's sexy when you see your friends wanting what they want and you're like, ooh, like a friend of mine recently moved to this yurt on a farm, and I was like, oh my god, I can feel all the project babies you're gonna have there when you have the space to just, like, be you and be in a place that is, like, matches your essence. And
stop giving energy. That's a great, that story is a good example. That friend was, prior to that, trying to make a fake desire work because they thought they had to. They thought they'd given themselves all this really complex narrative around why it was their destiny and it's good for the world and all these sort of, like, sneaky things we tell ourselves, when in fact you just want a fucking Coke and to take a walk on the beach. You know, like, and I feel like what this person is doing right now is their version of being on vacation in their own life, because that's what, so, like, I think that's, like, really worth sort of, like, pausing to check out. Your real desire will feel like, oh, really? Oh, like, it's clean. Mm. It's like, you just, like, want to do it. Nothing else. And a lot of people get so tangled up. We all get so tangled up in, like, the have to do, the obligation. We kind of forget what that response feels like. And that is actually the driving response. That's what we should be responding. That's how we should feel about the stuff we're doing. All of it. So T, I have this, like, this Disney dun da 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 step in time, da 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 step in time, da da da. I think it's from Mary Poppins.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this feeling of getting back into the original rhythm of your own life. You get back in time. Mm-hmm. There's a metronome of happeningness and manifestation and divine intervention and collaborators. And I know you know what this feels like when you move towards a really big, juicy project and you're all with it. There's this, like, base note. Like, things are dropped. You just know that person's going to call. You just know it's going to be just in perfect timing, exactly when you need it. The money, this, you're in time with the music of your life. Mm-hmm. And it's such a good, I guess it would be a really good, like, red flag or check-in for people to do. If you feel like you're out of rhythm, you probably are. And it might be a nice place to begin is to inquire into, like, check your desires. Is there something you're trying to make work that you don't really give a fuck about anymore? If you're real. Mm-hmm. And how can you make space to be more real? Mm. Like, what would that look like for you, for people? You know, what would be a suggestion for you around a process that might help people check their desires?
Something I love to do is to think about if something makes my heart bloom open like a flower or makes it close. And yeah, I think that we should give ourselves full permission to move towards what makes us bloom and remember that that's what we're here to do and that's what will draw the best version of ourselves out of us. And so that's what's best for the whole world too.
Yeah, it might be fun to find that question for yourself. Like, your question is, does this make me bloom? Mm-hmm. Does moving towards this make me feel like I'm in bloom? Mm-hmm. And for me, I might ask, does this buzz? Because mm-hmm. I believe that, like, things that are on my true ley line have a hum. And it's interesting that I've been really sneaky. There are some things in my life where I haven't asked that question about. Because mm-hmm. it's so, I've been doing it for so long, you know, and I'm not brave about being like, does this still buzz for me? You know, because there's so much, and it's been revolutionary recently. And, you know, in this vacation, Hannah and I have been using the time to go really deep on stuff, to check some of our desires, check some of our anchors. And it's been one of the best vacations of my life because of that deepening.
Listener, go find your own version of your bloom or your buzz. We love you.
You've been kissed square on the lips by the Glad Cast.